Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have join us Jack Briggs. Jack is the president and CEO of Springs Rescue Mission, a great nonprofit in the Colorado Springs area. And he has a great background as a leader in military as well as in civilian life. He was a pilot with the Air Force and moved up the ranks to become a major general. His last position in the Air Force was as Director of Operations, U.S. Northern Command. And then he went on to New York University to be the Vice President of Global Resiliency and Security. Looking forward to some great lessons that he has learned in his career and leadership lessons I think will be helpful to you. Looking forward to our conversation today with Jack. Can you give us just a little bit of your story, a little bit of your history?
Sure. Thanks, Mark, for the opportunity. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. I'm Jack Briggs. I'm the President and CEO of Springs Rescue Mission. We're the largest rescue mission in Southern Colorado. We have facilities that address homelessness, addiction, and poverty. We serve anywhere from 250 to 700-ish people a day with health, housing, and work. I've been here for a little under a year. I have been on the board of the rescue mission for several years, though, before taking this opportunity. Prior to this, I was a vice president at New York University for public safety, but the bulk of my adult work career has been in the United States Air Force. I'm a Air Force Academy graduate from 1986, spent most of my time as a pilot in the Air Force, flying fighters. About the last 10 years of my career, I was a general officer and had command assignments ranging from Afghanistan to Northern Command, which is here in Colorado Springs, as the Director of Operations. That was my last assignment.
Great. Well, we always like to ask this question of our guests. If you were able to spin back time and go back and talk to an impressionable Jack Briggs at the age of 22, what advice would you give him?
I think my first piece of advice would be to, as a 22-year-old, to choose to be a professional every day. Make that choice. Show up. And I'm talking about a work environment here. It's a choice. You are not technically proficient in what you do at 22 years of age, unless you're a phenom basketball player or something like that. And so you have to choose to show up every day and be a pro and learn that technical expertise of what you're trying to do. The other thing I would say is, show up with a little bit of humility in what your role is as a learner, new to the environment.
Right. Any advice that you, looking back on it, you should have ignored that you received early on?
I don't know if I would say that I either received this or didn't receive it, but one of the things that I would tell young professionals today is, don't focus so much on your own brand building, right? There's a lot of this in social media and in this idea that I've got to build a brand. And I will tell you that that's pretty shallow. I go back to the thing that I would recommend, which is show up and be a pro every day and show everybody that that's what you're about. Your brand will build all by itself, as opposed to you taking the social media route. That's just my advice.
Sure. So you made the switch from, you worked in a university prior to coming to the Springs, but prior to that, most of your career was in the military. I'd love to hear your story as far as of how you got connected to kind of the nonprofit world and kind of what was it that drew you to your current role?
Right. So my family has a history of homelessness and addiction, and I had a sister who was unfortunately on the streets, and she passed away in the late 80s in Denver. And so I've been around this and been personally involved in it for a while. But when I was in my last assignment in the Air Force in Colorado Springs, I got connected to Springs Rescue Mission and was on the board for a couple of years. And then when I retired and moved to New York University, I stayed connected. I wasn't on the board, but I stayed connected. And I think part of that, when you talk about senior leadership positions, is staying networked with those organizations that you feel connected to. So even though I was not on the board, I was still connected because I felt that this was an important thing. That turns out to be the reason why the board called me and wondered if I would be interested in applying to be the new CEO. And that's how we really came from Air Force to NYU, back to Colorado Springs to Springs Rescue Mission.
Got it. So what lessons have you learned over the last year that, you know, this is a unique time to be leading any organization, and especially kind of in your space with a lot of the need? And I think as I've talked with other leaders in your space, that they've said this past year has been a year and a half has been just a unique time for them, and they've learned some new things. What have you learned leading during this time?
Well, for me, it's all I've known because I got here about a year ago. And right. So, you know, it's been something that I knew I was getting into, when I took the opportunity. I think a couple of things are important, to keep in mind. The pandemic and the stress that it causes affects different communities, in different ways. And the homeless and addicted community have a lot of things going on in their lives that are not, that are probably more existential than the potential of getting sick with COVID. Now, we did not have a lot of outbreaks here at the rescue mission. There's a variety of reasons that we think some of the steps that we took, the testing that we did, and pushing to get the first round of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, I think, was important. And we got probably 30 to 50% of the clients are vaccinated, and most of the staff. But that's just sort of the blocking and tackling of COVID. There's no place else for some of our clients to go. And so we had to figure out what we were going to do to support them, because being on the streets when it's 20 degrees outside at night is a present danger. Frostbite,
sure.
Hypothermia, the things. So over the winter, we chose to stay open, and we took a lot of steps, but we were very lucky and blessed and successful in keeping people safe. What hasn't changed in my career, whether it was in the military or at NYU or here, is my focus on the fact that people matter and projects don't. Right? If your listeners were to go and think back to the last job that they had, most likely they're going to think of a person. They're not going to think of some package or PowerPoint slide that they had to make or something like that. They're going to think of somebody that affected them positively or negatively. And as a leader, you have to understand that your people matter. They matter. Each individually, they matter. And you need to help them to be bigger, better, faster, stronger. The projects, if you do that, the projects will get done. That's a follow-on. But focusing as the leader on that. And so that's what we did here. So we did it at NYU during the during COVID and prior to that, and then in my Air Force career.
So every leader needs to have that understanding that it's wherever you're at, it's a people business, and right. Part of that is getting the right team in place. Talk a little bit about that. You've led teams in high stress situations in the military, as well as you know, this past year has been high stress. But talk a little bit about that, of how some guidelines or principles you use as far as you put together a team.
Yeah, team dynamics are key. And you as the leader have to have your finger on the pulse of that. You have to focus on their welfare. You have to focus on the welfare of the people that you lead and be a good steward of the resources you're provided, whether that's time, money, equipment, authority. You have to be a good steward of those to focus on the people, again, that you're leading. You have to be, you know, I think it's a Druckerism or something, slow to hire and quick to fire. I don't know if that's Drucker or not, but it sounds like him. But you have to be very purposeful about the folks that you're going to bring onto your team and how they fit. You know, in the Air Force, in a fighter squadron, everybody's an alpha, right? So that, and you're not going to change that. So you have to work that dynamic and how that works. In this business, there are not as many alphas. It's social services. It's a different dynamic, and so you have to balance that as well. One of the things, though, when I think you go out and you look to team build, is particularly in this environment, is you have to go out and find people that don't think like you, right? If I had a team and everybody agrees with me, everybody else is extra, right? I already agree with me. So what I'm looking for is people who understand what we're trying to do, are bought into what we're trying to do, but might come at it from a slightly different perspective. And that you as the leader have to go find those people, because for a lot of them, they're not going to self-identify, because they don't feel like they're part of what you're looking for. And so you have to break that paradigm.
You've been on boards. You served on the board of the mission that you're at. But talk a little bit about, we've got a number of new leaders or people that maybe are in that first CEO spot. Yeah. And I think one of the lessons they learn quickly is that sometimes they have misconceptions about working with a board. But talk a little bit about that, just kind of your philosophy around that and how you manage those relationships.
Yeah. So if any of my board members are listening, you guys are great.
Right. Good comment.
Thank you. That's all I had to say. No, I think the board is part of the team, right? And you've got different kinds of boards. You have activist boards. You have in the weeds boards. I think one of the first things to understand is what kind of board you're working with. Just the as is, if you will. Like, what is it like? Are they engaged? Are they not engaged? Are they how transparent is the relationship between you and the board? And just try to gauge that. And then try to work with an open communication style is my style. My style is to not surprise the board if I can help it, but keep them involved, particularly when it comes to my thoughts about where the direction is going, but use them as an asset. Most of your board members have great experience. So ask them questions. Like, here's the situation. What do you think? It's not a board issue, but what do you think? You should have a set of lanes. Like, what is their lane? Are they making decisions or are they advising? Do they want to have daily updates or are they looking for the quarterly, this is what we did on our summer vacation sort of board meeting? But from my perspective, a little bit of this is leading up, if you will, and holding their feet to the fire to be participatory in the strategic direction of the organization.
I know we talked previous, and one of the things you talked about is that leadership development is definitely your immediate team, and how do you develop them as a leader? Talk a little bit of your philosophy around that, as far as of how do you, again, it's, I think great leaders are thinking beyond their time of leadership. They're thinking of that next generation of leaders that they're helping to develop. Talk a little bit about that.
So building a bench of people who are qualified to do a variety of things is important. And you as the leader have to model that. You have to be inclusive with people in their development, exposing them periodically to the next level of decision-making in the organization. If you're the frontline supervisor, you know, you're mostly in the vertical. You're looking at what those that you are supervising are tactically doing. They're, you know, what are they making or fixing or doing whatever. And so your technical proficiency has to be good there so that you can supervise that for quality assurance and safety mostly. Once you get sort of into the mid-range of the organization, this is the crop. This is the group of people who have proven that they are professionals. They're professionals at what they do. They're learning more about the strategy of how to put things together. So they're working vertically and horizontally. And then the senior folks are working mostly horizontally in peer-to-peer relationships to coordinate what's going on in the down and in of the organization. And at the senior level, you're the up and out person. And so when I look at development, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help someone that's at a particular stage to see the next level and let them be exposed to that. And you'll find that some people gravitate towards that, and some people are like, no, that's not me. I really like supervising the widgets. That's what I like doing.
Sure.
Okay. That's great. But you got some people that will show more potential. And so you have to help people see that next level.
Great. Well, I know that, talked about the importance of learning as a leader and how are there books that you recommend to your team as well as other leaders that you would recommend putting on their list?
Sure. So I run a gospel rescue mission. The best book that I've ever read on leadership is the Bible. And that's right. Just me. I'm not telling everybody that they need to, but if you read it, you'd see a lot of leadership stuff that's in there. Mm-hmm. And so I typically like to look through that. There's a book that I really enjoy reading. The language is very salty, so you have to sort of get past that. But the leadership lessons in it are fantastic. And it's called The Gates of Fire by Stephen Pressfield. It's about the Battle of Thermopylae. And the book is the movie that came out several years ago, 300, is not based on the book. The book is much, in my opinion, much better for leadership learning.
Okay.
It's about sacrificial leadership and what that means. And I really enjoy that. And then a book that's hard to find but is fantastic is The Thoughts of a Philosophical Fighter Pilot by Admiral James Stockdale. So Admiral Stockdale was the senior officer in the POW camps in Vietnam. And when he came back, he wrote gave a series of speeches and wrote a series of papers about that experience as a leader. There's a lot of lessons in there. I think one of the best lessons for me is that life isn't fair, get over it, and now do something. Mm. Right? And understanding that, I think, is important. Those three books, I think, are for me, sort of core books in terms of leadership.
Well, you gave one quote. Any other quotes that stand out in your mind or you often refer to?
I do. My sort of go-to one from the Bible is Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself.
That's
a good spot for leaders to be. Churchill has, if anything Churchill said. Okay, stop it there. But there's one thing in particular, and it's that all great things are simple, and many can be expressed in one word: freedom, justice, honor, duty, mercy, hope. So, you know, when we think about noble things, we should put those in our minds and refer to them every day. And the last quote that I really like is from a Stoic philosopher named Epictetus, who was the teacher of Marcus Aurelius, who is Caesar. And I'll paraphrase it because it's a really long sort of quote. But it's, fight the fight you have and not the fight you wish you had. Too often, leaders and their staffs look at a problem and try to turn it into something they're comfortable with solving. They go to their go-to thing, whatever it is. And if you're not willing to look at the problem based on what it really is, you'll solve the wrong problem. You'll solve something, but it's not really productive because you're not solving the thing that needs to get solved, which may not fit neatly into your normal, like, this is the kind of thing I like to do.
Sure. Great, great thoughts. So outside of work, I know you probably don't have much time, but what do you like to do to recharge?
You know, I try to stay fit. I think as senior leaders, too often we let that go. You know, we're like, oh, we're so busy, I can't get to the gym, or we're so busy, I can't take that walk. I don't agree with you. I think that it's part of your job to be physically fit, because that helps the organization, because you're there, you're healthy, you're monitoring. And if you model that, others will do the same. If you take time out of your day to be looking at your health, taking vacation, doing the things that you need to do, others will do that. If you're the workaholic that shows up first and leaves last, that's not healthy for the organization. It's just not.
Good stuff. Any parting advice you would give a new or up and coming leader?
Develop a few close friends that will tell you the truth. I think that's important. I will say this, but it's futile. You don't need to do social media. I think it's destructive as the leader for you to be just out there just telling everybody what you think. Some stuff needs to be unsaid, right, as you think through it, particularly when you're reacting in the moment or with emotion. So here's the thing about leaders, right? Everybody keys off of you. So when something happens, you're going to react, and you have to, and I don't know if you guys can see my hands, but if you react at this level, the people that work for you have to react at that level, because they have to prove to you subtly that they care more than you do, right? They have to just prove it to you, just almost subconsciously. So you as the leader have to push your reaction level down. So you give lots of space above it for people to react and not overreact, right? And so social media is all about this,
right,
and not this. Leaders live here. Bloviators live here. And that doesn't give your staff any room to try to solve the problem without overreacting. And that's something that I try to help leaders realize, is get down here and not up here.
Well, Jack, this has been very helpful. I've enjoyed our conversation. You've shared some great, great thoughts. And if actually people apply it, I think they'll be better leaders. And that's the part of it. But yeah, no, you've got some great insights, and I know it's going to be helpful. And I wish you continued success as you lead the mission and the important work that you're doing in your area. Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.